We're looking again this morning at the book of Jonah, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Jonah. You were quick, Jordy. I don't think Jordy heard me. Did you, Jordy? No? You did. Reading from Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Jonah with the command to preach against the wickedness of Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian kingdom. But Jonah chose to flee from the presence of the Lord instead, and in his flight, Jonah left his home of Gath-Hepher near Nazareth in Israel. Which we see in 2 Kings 14 and 25, and travelled to Joppa, a coastal city, and there he boarded a ship bound for Tarshish, a city which is near Gibraltar in the southern part of Spain. The contrast between Nineveh and Tarshish is vast. Nineveh was located east of the Tigris River in western day Iraq, in modern day Iraq. It was more than 500 miles east of Jonah's hometown. Tarshish, in contrast, was west of Gath-Hepher and stood more than 2,500 miles from Israel in the opposite direction of Nineveh, and it was probably the most remotest destination available to Jonah, as Jonah was trying to put as much distance as he could between himself and the Assyrians. And whatever happened to Nineveh, Jonah in his mind would not be there to see it. And Jonah's reason from turning, Jonah's reason from running away to Tarshish was quite simply that he did not like the Assyrians, as the Assyria was an idolatrous, proud and ruthless nation, bent on world conquest, and had long been a threat to Israel. So when the Lord sent Jonah as a missionary to the capital of Nineveh, the prophet Jonah balked and fled to Tarshish. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be, that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and what people, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleases thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. In verse 4, where we read that, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And in this verse we can see that the Lord is in control of the weather. The Lord is in control of the weather. And today we hear from the media that the changeable weather we are experiencing today at this present time is down to climate change caused by CO2 emissions. And the fact that the Lord controls the weather is totally ignored. And in verse 5, as where we read that the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it off them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so, that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And in these verses we see that the shipmaster and the mariners believed that this terrible storm they were fighting was from God. This bad weather was from God. Then in verse 15, where the mariners took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. And in these verses we see that the shipmaster and the mariners turned from their idols to worship the living God, and that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Acts 2:21. Saved not only from the storm, but that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. so that the mariners were not only saved from the storm, but they were saved from the second death, as they are found written in the book of life, according to Revelation 20 and verse 11, which states, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So these men were saved from the storm, and they were saved from the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Are you listening to this message from the Lord, and you doubt that you are written in the book of life? Why not call on the Lord and ask him to save you? And he will. "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then you will receive the gift of God, eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then you will be written in the book of life and be saved from the second death. But remember that today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, because for us tomorrow may never come. Then for you tomorrow may be too late. So call on the Lord while he may be found." Romans 8 and 28 states, "We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." And we can see God working through Jonah's disobedience and fleeing to Tarshish for good, in that the mariners turned from their idols to worship the living God and were saved. Through Jonah's disobedience, God worked it to good that these mariners would be saved. Jonah 1 and 17. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights." The Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And this word "prepared" is defined in Strong's Concordance as "a point." This great fish was appointed. So this great fish was appointed by the Lord to swallow up Jonah. And this great fish was there at exactly, the fish was there exactly at the right time and at the right place to catch Jonah before he drowned. And Matthew 12 and 39 states that, and it's the Lord speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, who asked the Lord to show them a sign. And the Lord replied, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And in this verse we see that Jonah's experience in the belly of the great fish is a type of the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. But both Hebrew and the Greek versions of the book of Jonah do not specifically say that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, but that he was swallowed by a word, "ketos." Ketos, which in Greek means great or large aquatic animal. This could mean either a whale, a shark, a sea monster, or even some creature specifically created by God to serve his purpose. Whole animals as large or larger than a man have been found in the stomachs of the sperm whale, the white shark, and the whale shark. Other examples of animals fulfilling the Lord's purpose are here. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God has commanded Noah, Genesis 7 and 9. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. Numbers 22 and 26. And the word of the Lord came unto him, Elijah, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. 1 Kings 17 and 2. And verse 17, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great." Revelation 19:17. And in these scriptures we see that the Lord commanded animals to fulfill his purpose, and the Lord will in the future command the fowls of the air to his great feast, the feast on the bodies of men. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, "I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. And thou heardest my voice, for thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I cried, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me, forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. In these verses, we see what Jonah experiences in the belly of the great fish. And he likens it to being in the belly of hell. Jonah, in the belly of the great fish, likens it to being in the belly of hell. In verse 2, and then in verse 9, where we read that Jonah says, "But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord." And here we see that Jonah repents of his disobedience, and the Lord hears and answers Jonah's prayer, and the Lord speaks unto the great fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Then chapter 3, again we read, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. In these verses we see Jonah experiences, in this chapter we see that Jonah obeys God when the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time to go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people of Nineveh believed God. The people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least. So the king and the population of Nineveh all repent and believe God and are saved. And Acts chapter 16 verse 31 states, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And the Apostle Paul states in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, that "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith to our Lord Jesus Christ. repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance means that we turn from idols to believe in the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance means that we turn from idols to believe in the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and ask him to save you, and he will save you. And he will save you from the wrath to come, which we have already read in Revelation 19 and 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And an idol is anything, any activity or person that keeps us from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. An idol is anything, activity, or person that keeps us from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. It is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? In these verses where Jonah says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live, because thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. And in these verses we see that Jonah would rather die than to see his enemies, the Ninevites, repent and be saved. Jonah would rather die than to see his enemies, the Ninevites repent and be saved. But the Lord commands us, I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 6:27. The Lord commands us, I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 6:27. And we can understand Jonah, why he hated his enemies. And we can understand how it's hard to love our enemies. But this is what the Lord commands. Love your enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you. In verse 6, where the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head. And in verse 7, where God prepared a worm, when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And in these verses we see the prepared gourd and the prepared worm is the same word for prepared great fish in verse 1:17, which means, prepared means appointed. So God appointed the great fish, then God appointed the gourd, and God appointed the worm. And once again we see that the Lord is in control of his creation, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:3. The Lord controls all things, the heaven and the earth and all nature, as he upholds all things by the word of his power. The Lord appointed or commanded, and the animals went into the ark, two and two, male and female. The donkey which spoke and saved Balaam from being slain by the angel of the Lord. The ravens fed Elijah bread and flesh in the mornings and evenings, probably for a period of weeks, maybe even months, until the brook Cherith dried up. Think of the ravens' obedience to the Lord, and the discipline the ravens showed us, in that as they forage for food, their natural instinct is to swallow the food as they find it. Yet they brought bread and flesh to Elijah morning and evening at the Lord's command. The prepared great fish that swallowed up Jonah, the prepared gourd that sheltered Jonah from the sun and the vehement east wind, the prepared worm that ate the gourd, the fowls of the air which will attend the great feast at the Lord's command. All these creatures are of lesser intelligence, or of little intelligence, obey the word of the Lord. Like, how much intelligence does a worm possess? Or a gourd? Yet men and women created in the image of God reject. The men and women created in the image of God, being of high intelligence, reject the word of the Lord, as the Lord Jesus Christ is despised and rejected of men. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many who receive him, to them gives he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then in verse 4 and 10, where the Lord says to Jonah, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not laboured, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Jonah's pity for the gourd was for the loss of his own comfort and the protection it gave him from the sun. And he had no pity for the population of Nineveh. But the Lord had pity for the 120,000 young children who were so young that they could not tell their left hand from their right, which shows just how young they were. And the Lord also had pity for the livestock. In the Lord's forgiveness of the people of Nineveh, we see the truth of 2 Peter 3 and 9 demonstrated. In the Lord's forgiveness of the people of Nineveh, we see the truth of 2 Peter 3 and 9 demonstrated, which states that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you not yet come to repentance? Why not right now ask the Lord to save you, and he will. Amen. Do you close in prayer, dear?
Thank you for your word, for your word is truth.
Yes.
It's a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. And we thank you, Father, for the faithful word that went through this morning, Lord. And we pray that you'll use it to your glory and your praise and honor and draw men and women, boys and girls, to yourself. We thank you, Father, that not only to be hearers of the word, but Father, to be doers of it, Lord. And that to get all the glory and all the praise. We've not to seek anything for ourselves. And we thank you, Father, for the mercy that you've shown each and every one of us, Lord.
Yes.
Even in our terrible state of sin, you took us in, Father. We don't deserve any of that. Why would we? Because we're condemned and we're unclean. But Father, you have mercy and compassion on us, Lord, that you gave your son, your only begotten son. And Jonah didn't see this, Lord. Jonah was only thinking of himself. And he didn't like the boys that he was sent to, Lord. Sometimes we don't like to speak to the people, Lord, that we don't like. The people that's never done us harm, hasn't done us any good. And Lord, we're told, Lord, to witness to them, Father. Go into the world and preach the gospel. That is what we're told. And we thank you, Father, that you're always with us, Lord. You never forsake us, Lord. And when it's your word that's involved, that the Spirit of the Lord is lead, give us lead into it, Lord, Lord. And so, Father, we praise you again for each and every head bowed before you, for the day you took us in, Lord. You cared for us, you loved us, and you cared for us. You gave us life, you gave us life eternal. You gave us salvation, you gave us redemption, Lord. You paid the price for us through your beloved Son, that man could have a way back. And it's sad in these days, Lord, and it must grieve you, Lord, to see the things that's happening in our world, Lord, at this time. But the Psalm already said that you're in control of it all, Lord. And even the rain, no matter what it is, Lord, you're in control of it, Lord. And but man can't see that, Lord. He thinks he knows it all. He's been given a brain, Lord, and he can do wonderful things. But God has the power, Lord, and that he thinks that he can do it all Lord. And so we pray for that's a lesson to us all Lord, that we don't know it all, we need help, and we can't do anything by ourselves. We couldn't even create an anxious thought for us. And so Father, we thank you for this word that went forth, Lord. That Lord, we've all had our times, Lord, where we dislike people, Lord, and for what they stood for and all the other things, Lord. But a sinner's a sinner, and it doesn't matter what's attached to it, Lord. When we're all, of course, we've all had sin, and can show it to the glory of God. And so Father, we pray that you, this will be a lesson to us all, Lord. That Lord, it doesn't matter who the person is, or what they are, or what they've done, they're entitled, Lord, to hear the word of God. And if, when they hear the word of God, then it's on their own head that what they do with it, Lord. And so Father, we give you thanks and we praise you again for this time. Thank you, Father, for thy word. Thank you, Father, for our time here this morning. Thank you, Father, for saving us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings you've showered upon us, Lord, for our health and for our strength, for our food, for our clothes, Lord. We thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. For our families, Lord, we pray that you go before them, before them, Lord, and undertake for them, Father, in the days that may lie ahead. Father, we ask you to take us from this place, take us to our homes in safety, and that nothing befall us by the way. And then we will return again, Father. We'll return again to a prayer meeting, Lord, where we can come and praise and thank you for all you have done for us, Lord. And again, Father, to pray for those that cannot pray for themselves. We give you thanks in the lovely name. The name is every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. In the Saviour's name we give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, David.
The doorway back there.
What's that?
The most. Just right back there.